Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to episode 81 of the Guardian Hub podcast, where we talk Destiny and our love of the game. We bring on different guests and communities to learn about them, their experiences in Destiny, and discuss other topics. But your host this week, with no guest, spoiler alert, are Kings of Xen and Dez. Dez Raven, how are you guys doing?
Fairly well. Dez, are you magical?
I've definitely improved since my incident in the Discord, but so I wasn't doing that great, but getting to talk, it was sweaty, spooky sweats?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like getting to talk with him, and it really ended up like helping a ton on like just my general feel and everything, so.
That's nice. Excellent, man. Yeah.
Getting to hear that, you know, I could help someone, like, it really, like I said, it boosted me quite a bit. So, it ended up helping tremendously. So I'm doing much better since then.
Nice. That is magical.
Yeah, it on is. A scale from zero to magical. I don't know what's in between. Now, no one can be magical like Xen, right? So we have to come up with something else. But
superb, fantabulous.
Who knows? I don't know where I'm going with this.
I try. Neither do I.
What have we been doing this week in any gaming or in life?
I've been working. The usual. I put in some my time off for the week of the 16th, so I will have a week off that week. I'm hoping
November 16th.
Yes, I'm hoping that the raid will drop that week, and maybe I can try World's First for once. If I do,
right. We don't know when the raid is coming. Some people have complained about that.
Yeah, I know they're supposed to be announcing it soon, so hopefully it'll coincide with that week. If so, I will definitely be on that, trying to get a World's First team together. And
you really think we'll get World's First, Xen?
No. It would just be fun to try it. I don't think I'll actually get it. But other than that, game-wise, I've been triumph grinding, as I like to call it, getting triumphs, lore that I've been missing out on. I'm at 92.7, I believe I'm at, for total triumph score, which I'm still chasing that elusive 100. And I've been playing a little bit of Borderlands.
Now, quick PSA, you said you were requesting the time off. For anyone who, we know the DLC is dropping, November 10th, Tuesday? For those correct. Requesting time off, and maybe who haven't done this before or forget, you may want to request off the 11th Wednesday instead, if you can only get one day off, just in case Bungie is down for an hour or 10, which sometimes things can happen on release day. You never know. But then again, you might feel left out if it goes well.
Right.
There is no downtime. But still, again, I've heard the horror stories of people that have requested day of off, and then it was down until like that evening, and they wish they would have done the day after. Just something to consider.
Food for thought.
Plus download times anyway, so.
Yeah, exactly. And that's another good point, Dez. I saw that they came out with the exact downtime. It's going to happen the night before, November 9th at 10 p.m. Eastern. Destiny will be going offline. So if we're wanting to get in any last-minute raids or playtime the night before, we're all hyped up and excited. We're logging into the game. Well, we will not be able to play after 10 p.m. We have to go to bed. Destiny's taught us. Yeah.
But then we'll be able to pre-download it, right?
Yes, yeah. Starting at that time, we'll be able to pre-download it. So even if you have a slower internet connection, hopefully it will be done by the next morning. I mean, I know mine will. I have pretty fast internet, but that's nice that they're doing that, actually.
Yeah, that'll be huge, especially since they're making it a new game download, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we got that. We'll talk about Triumphs and some other things in Destiny. Any other games or life, interesting life things. Well, any other games we've been playing? You did a little bit of Borderlands, right, Sin, before this?
Oh, yeah, a little bit of Borderlands. I know they have like a spooky holiday event, but I'm still trying to finish the DLC. The Western DLC is all I'm trying to finish now.
Cool, cool. Dez, what have you been playing lately?
Shockingly, I have been playing a good bit of Destiny when I can. My work schedule has gone weird. Potentially thanks to pandemics. So,
yeah.
Bad news is I'm down to 4 days a week. Good news is I'll be enjoying 3 day weekends, hopefully for not very long.
Hopefully not very long. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm hoping things will straighten out by about January. Okay. I mean, that's what I'm kind of figuring, because a good many of our contracts that aren't running as much right now are like automotive. And I spent like 6 years working automotive before, and like January is normally around the time we started ramping up anyway again. So hopefully around there things will restabilize. So yeah, I've been playing some Destiny, and of course been playing that new hotness, Genshin Impact, here and there.
How far in are you?
With Genshin. Let's see. I am adventure rank 25, almost 26.
Oh, yeah. I think you're much further ahead of me. I did play that a little bit. I forgot. I played maybe about an hour the other night.
Yeah. I mean, most of my playing this week has basically been logging on and doing the daily commissions, which I forget what it's been. I think it's. It's either 10 or very shortly thereafter 10, you can do daily commissions, and that helps. That's pretty much like a prime source of your rank after. That might have been, might be adventuring 15, actually. Anyway, whenever you unlock it, that becomes like, you know.
Yeah, like you're going almost to your prime.
Exactly. And it's almost your primary source of, once you actually do everything, it's kind of all you can do to get your adventure rank up. Right. But it doesn't take that long. Like I said, I think I still, since I last played, I think I went from like 21 to 25, almost 26. So it's still not going too bad. I had kindly, or I had reached out to the Discord and wondered if anyone would be interested in kind of a, what I call a gacha review. So I actually ended up going through, because I play like on again, off again, not all of them hardcore, not all of them daily, but like 5 different gachas. So I have access to comparative pricing on how this game stacks up to everyone else.
Tell me, as a pleb, what do you even mean by a gacha review? It's like the best thing to purchase, or what do you mean by that?
No, basically for this, it's basically a review for the game, but it's gacha game at its heart because it relies on a pull system. It basically relies on the slot machine for its primary income and your primary way of gaining characters, which comes from the Japanese gashapon, which were coin-operated vending machines. Anyway, and as I joke around, gasha is Japanese for I want your money.
So you are saying it has gasha, like...
Gasha. G-A... Well, it's like pronounced...
Not you.
Well, it can be pronounced that way, or it's pronounced gasha. Because the spelling is variant between G-A-S-H-A or G-A-C-H-A. So, I'm a weirdo and I say gacha where most other people say gacha. Which is also a fair pronunciation because gacha will gacha.
Yeah. Okay. I wanted to clarify that.
Yeah. once again, it's Japanese. It's a weird language. to say the least.
As long as I got you.
Gotcha.
Right. You know,
I was going to ask also why we're on this tangent about gotcha.
Gotchas.
So the pay to win aspect that I've been hearing a lot about for this game comes about that adventure rank that you're talking about there, where you have to pay for it or you just have to do the bounties.
Oh, that's the battle. Well, as far as I know, you can't pay your way through adventure ranks. Because that's about exploration, doing quests, doing missions. You can pay your way, of course, through the battle pass. Like pretty much any other battle pass in any other system there is.
Which, what gives you, like, more outfits and stuff? Or what's the point of
stuff? Let's see. For this battle pass, I'm considering I actually still have it up currently. I can pop right into it. That's the wrong button, so this quick menu isn't... All right, let's try it this way. Battle pass. There we go. All right, so the way... It seems like the way Genshin does their battle pass is, it's a bit like Destiny, really. A lot of the levels and ranks and stuff primarily are either upgrade materials, your in-game currency, materials to level up characters. And then, of course, along the track, there seems to be a few... I guess you would call them tokens, which substitute, which you can accumulate for one of the wish banners. And of course, there is a freed and a paid track. The free track gets you the tokens on the standard banner, which, going by normal gacha rules, the standard banner should be there forever, which is why it takes a different token. While the super special banners that you're going to want to pull on take a different token. And those are on the pay track. The only thing I'm kind of down on about this battle pass is at rank 30, if you have paid, you get to choose between one of four of the battle pass weapons. But it's the only way to get them, from the looks of it, is on the pay track. So that's... It's a little meh in my book, but otherwise there's not... I mean, basically double the rewards on the pay track, essentially. Access, like I said, the premium banner tokens, so you don't have to use your actual currency, your primogems, to make a wish. And also, I will say, for those that are playing the game, that aren't familiar with the gacha mechanics, do not do anything other than a 10 pull or a 10 wish. Just don't do it. It's not worth it. Legitimately. Because like most gashas, this has the bait that you get basically a guaranteed rarity as long as you do a 10 pull. You do not get that guarantee on 10 consecutive pulls. It has to be one 10 pull. So... basically save up until you can do a 10 pull for your best chances at getting better stuff is like gacha rule number one.
You heard it from Des.
Yeah, that's basically the first thing, because there's a lot of systems that, I mean, of course they offer a single pull, but it's like the worst rates. And from what I've already heard, this game doesn't have great rates on rare pulls, which is also kind of fair, because no gacha really has incredible rates when they're new anyway. That's kind of like an overtime thing. That after the company feels like they've screwed you over enough, maybe we should give them some better chances.
Maybe.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's pretty much like going to Vegas, right? The house always has the odds stacked in their favor. And until they make a profit, and then it's like, well, yeah. Loosen up a little bit. But yeah, of course, then you can buy Genesis crystals, which, as far as I'm can see Genesis crystals convert into primogems on a one-to-one basis. Which means if you're looking to actually put money in it without any kind of special like sale bundles or anything, you were looking at buying $29.99 worth for one 10 pull. And that sounds steep, but sadly, that's about common for a gacha. So, yeah. And that's always been my primary issue with gachas.
Mm-hmm.
Is the fact that, yeah, one 10 pull. $30. Meh. I've never been a fan of gacha pricing. And pretty much every other gacha I play, the lowest it goes for a singular 10 pull is about $23.99. So yeah,
It's pretty steep.
It is. It's awful. It's horrible. But they've been getting away with this for at least a decade in mobile games. So.
Yeah, I mean, I used to play, or I still do play War Z, but their money system and their games, basically for like the biggest packages you could buy, was like $100.
Yeah. That's standard. The pricing, like every gacha I play, yeah, the pricing goes all the way up to $99.99. I mean, you can buy that chunk if you really want. And to be honest, it's, you know, kind of like anything that has accumulating gains, the best deal is indeed the biggest package.
Go figure.
Of course it is.
I know, right? But, I mean, if you have the disposable income to be able to throw $100 at a game for whatever, sure, go ahead. But yeah, like I said, it can be steep though, but and of course, like many gachas, they do have a 30-day subscription. So you can throw a little money at it and you get a little bit of currency each day for 30 days.
Oh, yeah.
Which usually for gachas, it actually turns out to be a better deal than just straight buying by at least a little bit, usually.
Right.
And this game in particular actually is like $2 cheaper than what I usually see those. But I haven't also done out the math exactly on. I mean, like I said, considering a 10 pull is still in the neighborhood of everyone else, I'd about guess that it's probably a similar value, if not maybe a little better than your average subscription, which, to be fair, that's usually the occasional time I'll throw money at a gacha, is for these subscriptions, and because tactics for gacha, if you're not looking to pay anything, is always hoard. Save up until you see something you really, really want, and then go for it.
Yeah.
So a subscription, and like I said, these subscriptions, they normally have you wait anyway. And like I said, in my opinion, they're like the worst or the least way they screw you over are these subscriptions. So occasionally I'll throw $5 at, or, you know, $5 to $7 at a game. Like three or so times a year, basically.
Yeah, a couple bucks here and there. That's, I think, when you get the people that do that, that's where they can really make their money.
Oh yeah, I mean, then most of the gachas I play, I don't mind supporting the developers. And Genshin Impact, I mean, they released a tweet or something. Basically they plan on adding new content, as in, like, at the very least, new quests or story, or a new quest to advance the story in a 6-week cycle. So every 6 weeks, it's either going to be like new quests to advance the story or like new areas of the map to go to. And that's their projected cycle right now. So that's ambitious.
Yeah. I heard they have like two map areas right now. I'm only in the one. But they, from what I heard on another podcast, they're probably going to go up to seven.
I heard eight. I heard they had eight planned. But no telling, because I think there's seven usable elements in the game, and every area is focused on a city that has an archon of that particular element that corresponds to the game. So, yeah, minimum seven probably, but potentially eight. But, I mean, we're probably not going to see all of them for
a while.
I mean, it could potentially be years. I mean, this is like, it could be like their long-term storytelling, but also at the same time, there's also no telling.
Right.
Speaking of the season pass stuff, I was remembering how it's different with Destiny, this next DLC. Remember, we used to be able to buy the expansion and get a season included, the current season, but now with the base cheapest price, they don't do that anymore. So you can buy the standard edition. It's $40. And then I assume the season pass will still be $10. Or you can buy the game. Yeah, it's got to be because they have another edition, standard edition plus season, they call it, and that's $50. Or you can buy the deluxe edition, which is the DLC and all the season pass for $70. Now, that's only saving you $10. We're also assuming there's going to be four seasons again. Some people are like, ooh, with it starting later, are we going to have three seasons or four seasons, and now we'll just always be on a November rotation? Who knows?
I doubt that.
I doubt that also, but for only saving $10, and this last year too, I also bought the season separately, and I never regretted it. But yeah. I got to remind myself, for some reason, I kept thinking the DLC was $30 to $35. No, it's $40, and then I got to buy season pass once, because at least that goes to all your platforms. But I got to pay this $40. I mean, I don't have to, but I like playing on different systems. I got to play the $40 on PlayStation 4, $40 on PC, and then on Xbox, I'll be doing Games Pass, which includes the content. And then I got to pay the $10 once, and the season will go to all three at least. But yeah, that's some Destiny purchases coming up. You ready for that, Sin? Oh, you already ordered like the deluxe edition or something, didn't you?
Yeah, I ordered the collectors this time around. So
on what system?
PlayStation.
Cool. And then I assume you'll still get the DLC, obviously, on PC too, then.
Yeah, I was going to wait till the time comes to get it, because there's no rush right now.
Nope. But it's coming up, believe it or not.
Sooner rather than later.
Getting closer.
Finally. Good God.
A month away at this point?
Yeah. Holy crap.
I have some exciting things to talk about, like what people want to be doing coming up here. But first of all, as you said, you also did some Destiny. Anything interesting? What have you been wanting to do in Destiny lately?
I would say I've been going into the forest a lot, but no, I've been hunting down freaking decoder keys.
Oh. You mean the ones on Mars or something else? The cipher decoders.
The cipher decoders for the forest, because I try to get a stack of them.
How's your luck been?
Not great. Okay. Not great. But, I mean, it has been better the past couple days, because, like I said, or today, I kind of got in, but like over the last 3 days, I'd only gotten two, but I hadn't also really been playing, like just between doing the dailies and Genshin, and I at least try and do like the daily bounties from Ava on Destiny 2 before getting to sleep to have to go back to work. But like I said, today I at least did get another two. And it still wasn't really a lot of plays because it was one strike. So, but I finally ran through the forest. I was able to get my first Braytek Werewolf drop. That had an awful roll.
Not nice, but nice.
Well, the good news is, contrary to one of Paul Tassi's theories, you can still pull the curated werewolf out of your collection.
Yeah, yeah. I think people were never saying that that would for sure change, just that it could change, especially if Destiny Bungie noticed and they're like, oh, we don't want people doing that. But it was safe to pull it ahead of time just in case, but that's good to hear. You can still pull it.
Exactly, because, I mean, that's the thing, because I didn't play last year's, but I was actually, even, you know, once I got one to drop, I was actually able to pull the curated out of my collection, so.
Nice.
So like I said, the drop I got wasn't great, but at least it gave me access to get that, so that's a possibility.
Yeah, I've been noticing the drops are more often, maybe not as much as I'd want, but the last couple of days I have gotten, and I've been playing a little bit more, trying to grind some other stuff, which I'll talk about in a little bit, but I've gotten probably 8 or so within the last couple of days. And it is nice that whenever you get one now, at least you get 2.
Yeah.
So it's not just one. If you can get, like, I don't know, let's say you can play an hour or 2 hour play session, hopefully you can at least get 4. But if you're not getting even that, then it's still going to be hard to finish by the end of the month if you don't hop on every day.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of definitely kind of wish they'll tweak it like one more time. Because, I mean, I'm not looking for an easy run, just something that feels slightly better.
Yeah, because we have to do events to even get these drops. And most people, even though, yeah, patrols could be the fastest thing or some weird thing like that, we don't want to be just doing the same old patrol over and over. That'd be freaking boring. So we're doing all our other stuff. We're doing strikes or grinding for this or grinding for that, whatever we want to do. And it's kind of a lot of effort to put in the game to, I mean, I guess we're up anyways, but to put like 2 hours to only get what, 4 to 8 keys if we're lucky, you know, and then have to run the Haunted Force after all that. But I agree. Also, I hope they drop a little bit more. I did tweet something though. I think it's hilarious that you can get 3 drop at a time if you do the heroic public event on Mercury. And I don't know if anyone remembers Deej back, and he got a lot of flack for this when they were showing off the public event in Mercury for before it came out. He's like, this is going to be the most rewarding event ever. And then they run through it and there's 2 chests, 2, but all it was like 2 tokens or something 2 like
tokens
that.
In a blue.
And everyone's like laughing like, yay, the most rewarding ever.
I mean,
funny enough, it is the most rewarding now because it'll give you, if you get a cipher drop now, but you will get 3 ciphers as opposed to 2. So I kind of had a chuckle about that.
May have taken years, but Deej was proven right.
He was proven right all along. And I've been in Mercury a lot lately too, because I was trying to grind some more triumphs just because, I mean, it's something for me to do in the game. Slightly interesting to go for some of these triumphs of like planets that are going away. And I noticed I needed some more public events. You know, there's only the one on Mercury, so you kind of have to wait for that. And bounties from Brother Vance, I hadn't finished all that. And speaking of that stuff, I also, this is one that I've actually been having a lot of fun, and I just finished it as we were talking on the podcast a little while ago. But, you know, I got Thorn when it first came out, but I never really ran it much. And there's a whole lore book of about 8 pages that you get from Thorn kills. And someone said it's like 1,000-something kills. I don't know what it was. I mean, it may be a little bit RNG, but each page will pop after some kills. Yeah. And I saw that that was one that was going away. So I'm like, okay, I'll go for this. Man, I've been having a lot of fun with Thorn, especially on PC. It is crispy as hell. And I guess a lot of people already knew this, but I don't know. Even though I've gotten my kills now, I may be maining that a little bit more. Having a lot of fun.
I mean, it's fairly viable because, I mean, I've definitely heard from multiple sources that hand cannons feel extraordinarily better. especially if you're on keyboard and mouse on PC. That, and I mean, given the change they made to Thorn with the remnant, whatever that it leaves behind, I mean, it can output some serious damage.
Mm-hmm.
Like once it gets buffed up, so
yeah. Plus, you have the tick. It's nothing crazy, the tick damage, but still, it's like you can you kind of get a feel if you're like, okay, these adds over here might normally take like two shots or three shots. You know, you could do one or two and then just start aiming on someone else because you know the tick damage will take them down the rest of the way. So in PvE, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, which is what made Thorn the nightmare was in PvP.
Yeah.
Because if you landed two headshots on someone, you could just walk away. You don't have to worry about him anymore because that away. Dot will finish it. It's like yeah. The most disrespectful thing is if you just saw those two crits, it's like, yep, you're done. See ya. Bye. This fight's already over. I mean, it's like the epitome of the Fist of the North Star meme. You know, Omae wa Shinderu.
Yeah. Or like in, what was it? Kill Bill, the final little punch to the stomach. Yeah. You do it a certain way and like, you're not going to die until, what was it? Like you.
What was it, five steps?
You walk. Five steps, yeah.
Yeah, it was like 5 steps later you die or something like that.
That was great. At least you could somehow delay it if you don't walk, but you know you're going to die eventually. Yeah, that was good. I mean, it was fun to try another weapon. Then I'll maybe be going after Felwinter's Lie next. I know, Sin, you were kind of going to be hopping on that one, although I think that one's not time gated to get done by November.
No, but it is also fairly easy to do. I was doing a little bit earlier in the Haunted Forest as you were making fun of me about the loadout. Felton and Sleeper and a 110 hand cannon. I was getting the lore for Felwinter's really easily. So it's one night I got 90% of it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Thorn took me quite a few nights to get done using Thorn.
Yeah. Yeah, we have on Forest, and I see Sleeper going all over the place. Like, what are you doing, Sin? He's like, oh, I'm going for the kills for Sleeper.
I call it my triple tasking. I was going for kills for that. Was going for, what else was I going for? The Felwinter's kills for that, and using a subclass that I hadn't used for like orbs, and then I was doing the Striker Titan one where you had to do 10 kills in one super, basically.
So here's one of our segments. Live update. What are you doing in the game right now, Sin?
Well, I'm not actually playing Destiny right now.
What? You ruined it. Well, at least I can say what I was doing in the game. I was working on Thorn kills.
But I am playing Borderlands. Yeah. Nalsy's carrying me through the last part of the DLC while we're talking.
Oh, right on. So you are playing, you're just not playing Destiny.
Right. So hopefully I'll get that part done so I can move on to something else.
Like Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Yes, I need to finish half of that game.
You got it. Yeah, you told me what part you were on. It was just like, oh my god, that's like,
it's like right even there.
You're definitely not right there, but no,
probably right there for the good parts.
Exactly. It's like because Wall Market, even in the original game, is basically like one of the most memorable segments in the entire game, and they definitely do it justice in the remake. It is incredible.
Nice. Yeah.
Once
I'm done with Borderlands, I think I'll probably hop over a little bit more on that and switch between that and Genshin when I'm taking a break.
Yeah, I mean, that's the cool thing about it.
No, go for it while I'm counting.
I was about to say that's like the good thing about Genshin, because if you're looking to play it casually, like a free-to-play experience is entirely possible, because the characters they give you, from what very little I've read, are excellent characters for exploring the world. So as long as you're just exploring, which is incredibly possible with this game because it's got a bunch of nook and crannies and crap to explore through. But yeah, if you're not trying to push towards mid-game and in-game content super quick, you don't need to pull. And like I said, they equip you with good characters for at least the exploration of everything. So it can be a really cool, like, chill game just to run around in with, like, Breath of the Wild style exploration.
Breath of the Waifu.
Or as I... Was that our Discord that... what was it? The Legend of Paimon Emergency Food?
Yeah.
I think it was.
Yeah. That was amazing. Because I think everyone agrees Paimon is annoying.
Oh, yes. I'd be happy with less Paimon.
Yeah. But then again, it just correlates it even better to Zelda because Ocarina of Time had Navi.
Cool. Well, I wanted to talk about one other thing I did in Destiny this week. I know people are, and I totally saw this coming. I predict it'll be another week or two before we really get the last minute crunch, but people are wanting to raid again to get things done because we're getting close to the end. So tip for anyone listening, if you have something you really want to do, try to schedule something as soon as possible because we're not going to be able to get everything done unless you like just LFG for groups, which I'm sure a lot of people will have to do if they're trying to do certain things and we can't get it done. But we had a really fun experience Friday night. We did a Last Wish raid with, I have this pulled up here, Wicked, Ninja Muffin, Gohawks, Rusher, and Helios. And we almost did a four, you know, you say triple dips and we almost did a quadruple dip, but we tried to, we did miss out on the keep out challenge at the last second where I was actually the last person running around. I was a runner, not a defender. And then we had a defender. We were doing really good. And then the very last knight got through the door. You're supposed to keep them in the inner areas for the keep out challenge. So you actually want the defenders to stay inside the screen, which is normally a no-no. And I come running around and it's like challenge failed right when I hit the slam for the very last orb. So we finished the encounter. I'm like, oh crap, what do we want to do? And they're like, oh, don't worry about it, you know. But other than that, we still got three other things. We had an all clan night. We did all warlock and all arc.
Nice.
It was really crazy seeing some people on warlock that don't normally play warlock. But it's kind of fun to do things like that. Like I'm down to do like an all, you know, Titan or Hunter and doing these subclasses. And the only thing we did to make it a little easier is on the Riven encounter, Wicked Switch, you still want to have a Warlock do Well of Radiance. But then once you do the normal kill part and you get put into the Taken Zone, you just switch your subclass back to Arc really quick. So it'll count by the time the encounter is done. That's like a dirty little secret. As long as you end on Arc or whatever you're trying to do before the encounter ends, then you're still good.
Nice.
But yeah, that was a lot of fun. We got that done in an hour and 20 minutes, which wasn't bad, even though we tried. And probably most of that was trying the vault encounter a few times. Yeah. Because we failed a few times on that. But
I still need to go back and do a lot of those.
There's a lot. There really is. And everyone will have competing ideas like, oh, I need Arc. No, I need Void. Oh, let's do Titan. No, let's do Warlock, you know. But if you can get it done, then it's a lot of fun. We'll see.
Yeah, I can't believe I missed it.
We'll get her done. Of course, Last Wish isn't going away. So I think we were just doing that to have fun. And shout out to Helios and Ninja Muffin also joined the clan temporarily. I think she's going to switch back because she's a Guardian Down person, but it was really helpful to get that done so we could get the clan, you know, thing because it's kind of, there's so many unique things. There's also one that I was working on with Helios and Rusher after that where, I don't know what it is for Titan or Hunter, but for the Warlock one, you have to have a this has been around since base Destiny, and there's a triumph that says, as a fire team of three warlocks, get arc kills, you know, with the arc super. And I've never done that because I've never been
on
in
the
fire
team heroic events or whatever.
On public events, maybe they have to be heroic, but I mean, I might have been in a fire team of three warlocks before, but not three, just arc warlocks. So you really have to just plan it. And so Rusher and Helios were on, we were already all on warlock from doing the raid. So we're like, yeah, let's just stay on that. And we pumped out five of them. And I think there's 10 total you can get to get it done. Do you know if they have ones like that for Hunter and Titan also? I assume they do.
Potentially. They do. They do. The Titan one's all solars.
Gotcha. Yeah. And then Hunter is probably Void, I would guess, then, to round it out.
All right.
Go figure.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind doing those either. They're little things that would be nice to get.
So, did you know we're getting a new character NPC in Beyond Light coming this fall? We're getting Shahan Solo.
Shahan Solo?
I just think of that when I see Han.
Who is this Han?
I mean, that's the thing, because you say Shahan Solo, but also at the same time, those are two character names from Fast and Furious series as well.
Yeah. We don't know who this person is, other than it will be someone guiding new light players through in the Cosmodrome.
Unless you ask Paul Tassi. He swears he knows who it is. which, also at the same time, I wouldn't 100% disagree with him.
What do you think?
I was about to say, I won't say what he's guessing, just in case it might be a spoiler and somebody might be mad at me for saying it, but it's an interesting theory, and you can go read the article yourself, but I still don't know, you know?
I don't really care. Don't, and he could even be right, but then we may not even still find out to the year after if Bungie wants to keep it a surprise.
I know, right? Yeah, just because he has the theory doesn't mean it's actually going to be answered in Beyond Light.
Exactly.
But it's a bold theory, and most of his points do kind of make sense for the most part. So, you know, it's not something that has any, like, doesn't have like a lot of glaring holes or anything in it. So I could see it coming to pass, but also at the same time, maybe, maybe not. Either way, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, and either way, do you think this new character, Shahan, will just be a new light guide person, or do you think they'll also be the vendor for the Cosmodrome? Or do you think it'll be even someone else? We still don't know. I guess we're just speculating at this point.
I mean, to be honest, that's probably another part I do agree with Paul Tassi on, is the fact that if they're going to use him as the tutorial for new light players, at that point in time, there's really no reason for him not to be the Cosmodrome vendor.
Yeah.
I mean, because he's already there. He's shown us the ropes. So why wouldn't he have like a little base camp to operate out of?
Yeah, programming-wise, it would make sense. And exactly. Just for the new players, they're like, okay, we already kind of know this person. We can...
Exactly.
Yeah.
The thing I'm most excited about is the fact that this is like the first time they've actually changed, like legitimately changed, like the first mission, essentially. I mean,
I know.
Maybe not the first mission, but.
Well, it's, I hope that they have a little bit to it, at least 2 to 3 quote missions or stories, not just one little small one.
Exactly. Because I mean, they say it's going to hold your hand. It'll basically like show you the things that that you should know. So I'm guessing it would take about 2 or 3 missions. Personally,
and but that'd be crazy, I mean, if it's mostly on the Cosmodrome too. It's like, boy, we're really getting Destiny 1 feels now going back.
I mean, basically, because it keeps in the same like feel of D2, like when you're looking for the farm, basically. After everything goes down. But I'm like really stoked because I mean, even when they changed like the first mission for new players, they just re-imported the D1 first mission. So, I mean, now this is like something entirely new that they've crafted to help the new player perspective. Mm-hmm. So I'm really psyched for that. I'm kind of hoping we get to play through it. I think they said we might.
I hope so. That would be smart for them to have just some kind of node we can pick without having to. Yeah, that'd be crappy if we had to like create a new character just to experience it.
But not if we doing do, it again.
I will.
I've done it twice in the past, both in D1. I'm not doing it again, ever.
I think we just did it. And they didn't need to. So what's doing it one more time?
I'll just delete my Titan again, Sin. I don't care about my Titan.
Was it like, because that's the thing, because when they introduced, like, because it was back in Taken King when I first deleted my Titan. Because they added a bunch of, like, they structured, like, the story into the new, I mean, basically the systems that they still use in D2, like, you know, quest nodes and quest steps, basically. They formatted the campaign into numerous quests per planet. But the only way to go through it was with a new character. That, and I had a friend that was starting at the same time, too, so he was like my friend, refer friend buddy. So I deleted my Titan, and we went through the campaign. And then for some reason, I figured, like, the year later when Rise of Iron came out, hey, let's do it for my Warlock, too. I got halfway through, and I immediately regretted that decision. So no, I'm not doing it again.
Yeah.
Ain't happening.
Yeah, it'll be fun. We're getting closer, and I it'll be so interesting to see what this story is like for the main campaign. And you know, we keep talking about Europa, and I know there's gonna be a lot of good stuff there, but I'm really excited to see what they do with the Cosmodrome too.
Oh, yeah.
We know we're gonna have the Omnigal strike right away. So is there gonna be some story or campaign that leads into that, like we're doing something on the Cosmodrome also?
I mean, yeah. Like, I'm definitely stoked to step back into the Cosmodrome, like, with how they did the moon, even though I guess it's not quite potentially the same thing. Because I don't think they're, like, really rearranging as much. Mm-hmm. I mean, potentially, but who knows how they're doing the stuff out of the Destiny content vault. It could end up being something very much like they did with the moon, with more updates here and there than we realize. But I just can't wait to, like, go through and, you know, much like the moon, like, go through my old, like, potentially go through an old farming path and go, hey, what's this?
Yeah.
Like, and when I found that region chest.
Yeah, and of course, I should have known, duh, because they did this with the moon, but we're going to have Lost Sectors on the Cosmodrome also where we didn't
have
them before in D1. So that'll be really wild where we're in the normal areas and we're like, oh, here's a Lost Sector that goes down. Here's a new map, a new area.
All right. Dude, I'm definitely going to be like, because for some reason when they mentioned bringing back the Cosmodrome, Lost Sectors weren't on my mind until I saw it on the TWAB. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then the moon has those Lost Sectors, so that, yeah, it'll be pretty neat. Now, they said, now, this could still come back later, but they said right now the Plague Lands will be closed because it's quarantined. So that pretty much answers the question of, we won't have patrol for the Plague Lands, but I still think, like, okay, you know, with the moon, they had an extra zone, right, compared to the D1 moon? I mean, you know, the northern part with the castle, you know what I mean? The tower. I would almost hope and expect they'd have an extra zone with the Cosmodrome right away, and maybe not, or maybe they could unlock the Plague Lands later, or who knows, but hopefully there's just some surprise that we're not expecting. That's what I'm hoping for.
I know, right? Something, but also at the same time, I mean, because I'm definitely, like I said, I'm going to go through all of the exploration I remember, including all the little bits that all through D1 I would like go through these areas and just marvel at them and wonder, why aren't they using this? Because there are actually, even at the end of Rise of Iron, there were still at least a few areas around the Cosmodrome that were just completely untouched. That is just kind of sad.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't there even one area you could only get in a story mission. I'm trying to remember. It was like in the control room area. I feel like it was one of the factions of the Fallen we were fighting against. And, you know, you can see behind those glass windows. And I thought like you could only go on a story mission, not on patrol, but I could be wrong.
Potentially. You could be right. I don't know.
That's always interesting when they do. They haven't done that as much in D2, other than, of course, like dungeons and stuff. But usually everything you see in the missions is areas you can get to on patrol. Yeah. But D1 did have that a little bit, I feel like, because you could also say, you know, there were some story missions that brought you in the Vault of Glass. And then the only other way you could, I mean, you could glitch in as a single person, but really the only way you could get in, it was the raid then on patrol. Yeah. And that wasn't even patrolled. I mean, you do the raid, but, you know, it's complicated. But you know what I mean, right? It's like there's some areas that are kind of only in story missions.
Yeah, because Wrath of the Machine was that way too, wasn't it, as well?
Mm-hmm.
Well, like, well, the opening was in the world.
The Dreadnought, too. You can't patrol to
Sound
Room. No, at least I don't think you can. I feel like you can only get to his throne room in the mission. So
actually, I think you're right about that.
Anyways, it'll be interesting. All right, what else? Let's go quickly over mods. We don't have to go over all the changes, but I think one of the most interesting things to me, if you guys want to bring up anything, is the raid mod changes. This has a few people a little upset. I don't really care too much. What do you think?
Have about three basic words for a lot of people trying to hoard and use up a lot of these mods, and that's suck it, nerds.
Nerds.
But also at the same, on the flop B side of that statement, is I'm glad I never got around to doing the raids more just to get those mods. Because I'd probably be a little mad myself if, like, 2 months ago I had started doing the raids and collecting these mods, because everyone's like, oh, you gotta collect these mods because the raids are going away. Kind of glad I didn't do that now.
Yeah. Well, and I was listening to the latest Last Word podcast. Yeah. And
I heard the same thing.
I heard the same thing. And it's kind of funny. Like, we should have expected this, actually. It makes sense that they would have to have gotten rid of some of these or deprecate them in a way, because otherwise it would have been too much of a have and a have not situation where,
exactly,
oh, if you didn't get these in the raid from before, but now the people that did have them, 30% of the population can do these things in missions and whatever for like super well, and no one else can, you know? So
yeah,
it kind of makes sense.
It does.
Yeah. And I'm glad I didn't either. I have most of these mods, but they're just from running the raids a lot. I didn't actually try to go out of my way to grind them.
But yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. Cause like I said, they are like super strong mods. Like, because if you're running a raid, I mean, now we know why, because they've said in that TWAB, they design the raid or the raid's difficulty around those mods. So yes, the raid becomes easier with those mods because that's how they designed it to be run.
How it was supposed to be. But they were, of course, used in other activities. So just to let people know, in case they didn't read, what we're talking about is starting with the new expansion, these mods will be changed on where they can be used. First of all, anti-taken mods from the Last Wish raid can only be used in the Last Wish raid, as opposed to how everyone wants to use them now in the Prophecy Dungeon and in the Shattered Throne. And they're really useful for doing these solo runs and everything like that. So sorry, only Last Wish raid. And what's more is some other ones like the anti-hive mods from Leviathan and anti-fallen from Scourge of the Past will be removed. They won't even be available.
Mm-hmm. Entirely deprecated.
Yep. So sorry for people that were grinding the Sparrow Encounter and Scourge Raid over and over, because that's the only place you could get the anti-fallen.
Yeah, sorry for you, but I have a couple of those mods. I haven't used them, but I can see where people are frustrated because they do make certain encounters easier, and that's what the mods are for, to make your life easier to construct builds around. But we are coming into new content too, so
you got to expect changes. You got to expect
Indeed.
I mean, I guess it would have been nice if they could have told us a month earlier, because they were starting to give some information then, but oh well, we still at least know now. And, you know, it makes sense that they're doing this.
Yeah. So, like I said, that way the designers don't have to pull their hair out or make something stupid hard just because these mods exist.
AKA Reckoning.
Yeah. Well, and of course, Anti-Taken was way OP in Gambit. I never really used it there, but the word on the street was you should have always been using it in Gambit for all the Taken and, you know, the blockers and the, you know, that's one way that you could constantly be getting heavy ammo. You're like, how come the invaders always have all this heavy ammo? Well, it's because they're, you know, killing a Taken and getting heavy, and they have the mods to do that. And then they have tons of heavy ammo.
Yeah. I mean, but, makes sense.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Which at that point in time means also that the more blockers the opposing team sends to you with those mods, the more you're actually feeding them to beat you.
Yeah.
That's awful. Oh my God. Like I said, I'm really glad for the changes, because they even made mention that Gambit is like apparently the number one like problem area that these mods have. Mm. And could potentially be like, because I never look at people's loadouts, but could potentially be like the key to probably 20% of my losses. Because I mean, looking up, like, oh, they summoned Primeval, all right, we got a chance. You look up again and it's dead. What? Yeah. how?
Yeah. Well, it's good. I feel like they're going to have a hard enough time. I can't even imagine how they're going to be balancing the sandbox with the other very interesting news that some people have some concerns about, is some of these new weapons that they announced and exotic armor pieces for the PvP Crucible sandbox. You know, there's some pretty crazy things that are coming out, and people are a little concerned how it's all going to work now. And again, also on the latest last word, it just because I'm more of a PvE player, and Paul Tassi said this too, he's like, well, I'm always more on the side of like sacrificing PvP sandbox a little bit so PvE can be more interesting, but that's just my selfish opinion. I certainly don't want PvP to be horrible, so it'll be really interesting to see with all these new exotics and if it's going to be like a shit show in Crucible for a while.
I think Crucible
will
be fine.
Oh yeah. Crucible will be what Crucible is, and people will always have something to complain about in Crucible.
That's the thing, right? It's like, yeah, it'll just be the new thing to complain about.
Because that's the thing. D2 launch vanilla was like some of the most balanced Crucible we ever had. There were so many different viable weapons. And what do people complain about? It's slow. It's boring. I want D1 sandbox back. Same people that complained like 2 months before that D1 was busted as all crap. But anywho. But the good news out of the mods, though, the mod changes, is another huge mod change. This is apparently, if I read it right, like weapon loader and potentially like enhanced targeting mod or targeting mods, they're taking away their elemental affinity.
Yes.
Nice.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Yes. That's how I understand it too. That will be a huge thing.
Oh, that's massive. Cause I mean, that means you finally don't need particular elements just to use particular weapons like on your armor. Mm-hmm. And also piggybacking on that good news, no more enhanced mods. Wait, what? That's good news? That's because they're actually buffing normal mods that had enhanced versions. I believe they said they'll have the energy cost of the base mods now, but they won't have as big of effects as the enhanced mods.
It's probably somewhere in between,
Exactly. Like, it's definitely going to be better than base, but it's not going to be as good as enhanced, but it's still for that base cost. So, all in all, yeah, they're getting rid of enhanced versions of the mods, and base mods are getting a pretty massive buff in that instance. Because they want you to feel it better. Which...
for me.
Exactly. Considering you can definitely double stack the base mods easier, I mean, you're just going to feel it that much more if you really want to roll into the, like, one particular thing. So, all in all, it seems like a win to me.
Well,
and here, that way you're not chasing so many other mods.
Yeah, and here's what I'm excited about too. All the armor, including exotic armor pieces, will have a combat style mod socket, so we can accept the charge with light and warmind cell mods.
Yep.
So,
and then all old armor is going to be given a legacy slot, which will take practically everything from past seasons. It's like Warmind, Charged with Light. I think they mentioned raid mods.
Yeah, there is going to be a fifth slot for the raid armor so that you don't have to take up one of the other slots that you would normally have. Now, hopefully also that raid armor mods then won't have a cost to them. You know what I mean? Maybe they can just be zero because otherwise, how are you going to fill five slots if everything costs, you know,
right?
Only going to 10, you're going to have to, boy. Or maybe they can up to those to 12 and have it be two. But it would just be easier just to, like, you know, have them be zero.
Yeah, have those. Exactly. Like, have them be zero. Because
you have to have the armor anyway. So what's the big deal?
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
And, like, you have to have the armor and then you have to have them. As long as the mod drops, I don't, like, have a problem with that at all, essentially.
Yeah. The whole cost thing has complicated it. It makes sense, I guess, for... if you're trying to stack in resiliency and all that stuff, okay, that makes sense. But with, like, these special things, raid armor, raid mod, don't have a cost. It just, it's something that only works with that. So just let it work.
And if you're giving it, like I said, if you're giving this armor the one slot to be able to have a mod, I mean, limit the mods to that one slot. And which, like I said, as far as I understand, that's how it's going to happen. What worked? Was it Leviathan they started doing that with when they first even introduced, like, the prototype raid mods?
Mm-hmm. I think it was Leviathan.
Because you needed raid tokens to slot these effects in.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of feel that's how they're kind of going back to with this fifth slot. But, hey, we'll see. They could completely screw us over and it's like, yep, they still cost. Good luck.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Oh, and with the, what was it, the Arc Charged with Light mods? They're getting, because a lot of them have, like, a secondary effect, because they're taking away the element to the, like, loader mods and such. I believe they're expanding the requirement of arc mods to as long as you have another arc mod in the armor set that you're wearing instead of on that particular piece of armor.
Yeah.
And if I got that right,
I
that's going to be amazing.
That, yeah,
that, because that was purely from memory, which should never entirely be trusted. At least for me. Man. You shouldn't. Like I said, if it's from memory, you shouldn't.
Then let's get our research assistant right on that. Oh. Oh, wait, we forgot to pay their salary this last week.
What you're saying is we accidentally fired them unknowingly.
Listeners, let us know if we're right. Yeah, send angry emails to sin@sinmedia.com.
That is correct. Right.
Oh man, good stuff. Sin, actually, and this spoiler for the next couple minutes if you haven't run the mission yet, but we ran the last grand finale interference mission. What did you think about it? How was it? What did we do in there?
You're talking about the Court of Orcs.
Yeah, kind of, but it was more to explain than that. I feel like that part was kind of vague.
I'm gonna have a brain malfunction right now on who was in there.
So,
the
wizard, no worries.
The wizard.
The wizard.
The wizard?
Wizard. You're a wizard, Harry.
You know, there was only one throughout the entirety of Destiny.
I mean, the guy that I had to over and over for Osprey. And I'm having a I can't think of his name.
Son of Oryx, brother of Crota. One and only.
Nokris.
Yes.
Which we've already known from even the beginning of the season. So not total spoiler, I guess, but it was a pretty cool fight. I mean, I was glad to have something at the end where, you know, the rumors we heard about, and it was kind of like a semi-similar experience from how you fight him in the strike. But what was really cool was just all the voice lines that were in there and how this is all kind of coming to a head, and how it's like, okay, well, I can't even explain it all, but like why we fought him there. I mean, it's just kind of, I guess it's just Savathun again, like just her cunning ways of throwing stuff at us. And now why do you think it was a Court of Oryx type style there? I mean, do you know the lore does better or anything, like why he was coming out of a Court of Oryx area as opposed to like what we see in the Dreadnought in the Court of Oryx?
Have not played it, have no idea right now, actually. I might be able to get back to you. I'll do some searching and I'll report next week if I have any findings.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll definitely look into it though, because I'm just super stoked that they ended up actually using that space that people broke into, what, 12 months ago?
Yeah, yeah. We knew they kind of had to, but... but then again, too, it's like they don't really... It's cool for us that have seen this in D1, but there wasn't really any explanation while we were in it of why we're seeing this and knowing how it was used in the past. And it wasn't exactly like... I mean, it looked, as you're leading up, like what Court of Oryx looks like, but then it's in that interference mission area, play space, where you have, like, Savathun's huge, huge blight in the background. And, you know, he already kind of had a portal that looked like that when we fight him in, of course, the strike. But this was very similar,
yeah,
but like the statues and the Court of Oryx leading up to it, but we're just doing the normal fight on him. So it's kind of like, well, here's a really, really interesting thing. Okay. And this almost gives me the chills, but people were speculating this week, what if we've never fought orcs all along and Savathun was throwing stuff in D1?
Nah.
Yeah. The only reason why I say that is because now we see in this same Court of Oryx thing. Now, I understand that doesn't make sense, but it's a weird speculation for sure.
I mean, the entire Court of Oryx structure, I guess to flex what lore knowledge I do have, I mean, the entire purpose behind the Court of Oryx was sword logic, essentially. Like, whoever, you know, essentially had the balls to try and knock on Oryx's door had to go through, you know, people and prove that they were strong enough. Now, as far as why Savathun's area would have one, I mean, she herself practiced sword logic, but as far as why Nokris would be using it is an entirely different thing, because he abandoned sword logic, like, quickly. I mean, that's why he was cast out, because he was not using sword logic, and that's what drew Savathun to him. Exactly. So, yeah. So, like I said, as far as why Savathun would at least have something similar, could be remnant of that, but that's why I'm piqued to see if I can find out why Nokris would even be associated with those structures, because again, that was his entire reason of exile and being completely stripped of all Hive records except for the one statue on the Dreadnought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
But it was a good way to end these interference missions. And of course, this season got a little off kilter with it being extended. It would have probably been a lot more interesting if this all kind of, you know, if we were actually ended a month or so ago, and you know, then we had the last mission leading into the new season, because there's some they don't tell us anything, but I thought it was really cool at the very end too. It says like new powers await you on Europa. So they really kind of had this planned out with you know, how it's going to lead into the next DLC. They don't say what, okay. Say that, you know.
Well, I mean, yeah, that, and it does explain why they delayed the mission as well then.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't actually think the last interference would be this drastic of a change. I mean, somewhere in the back of my head, I kind of always hope so, but yeah, set your bar low and you're not disappointed.
Yeah, I know, right? Cool. Well, anything else Destiny-wise or that's on anyone's mind? Santa, I expect you to have 100,000 by next week.
I'm going to try. We'll see how well that turns out.
Yeah, I think the mods were pretty much the... Yeah, that was like the meat of the TWAB.
That was the meat of the TWAB, yeah. And I'm trying to think if there's any other...
Ooh, I do know they have teased that the next thing that they're going to be... Because the TWAB did say the next thing that they're going to be going over is starting the sandbox changes.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So yep. The next time we hear any updates, it's going to start being sandbox changes, and get ready for the salt to flow, ladies and gentlemen.
Because
no matter what sandbox changes they make, somebody or some group somewhere is going to get salty about some change.
We have 4 TWABs and 4 weeks to go. Basically, by the time you hear this podcast, it'll be 4 full weeks of Destiny in 4 different TWABs. So we're getting down to the wire.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting there. I'm excited.
Finally.
Yeah, I'm excited too. Well, we've had a lot of people join the clan lately. We're getting a little bit full up here, but we still can make room for you if you want to join. There have been a few that haven't played in even like over 6 months, and they have a very low triumph score. So I might, you know, message a few people and clean house a little bit, but we'll make it work, without seeing if we have to create another clan. Cause I don't want to have to do that.
Right.
All right.
But
we might have to get volunteers to help with that.
If I can even kick out my daughter who doesn't play. I don't know.
Get out of here, kid.
We need the room. I know it's too bad. I would also hope in these next weeks leading up, they pleasantly surprise us like, oh, and by the way, clans have been increased to 200. Yay. Yeah, unlikely.
Not likely, but here's hoping.
I mean, I don't see why. I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Like, maybe there's some arbitrary limit that, you know, Bungie Spaghetti Code has to it. And yeah. Maybe an extra, who knows, however many might do something somewhere else.
Yeah, maybe because in-game, it's like if they increase it to 200, because, you know, you have the list, and so if you start scrolling through pages, like, it'll take up too much memory and crash or something.
All of a sudden, your glimmer vanishes. Oh.
Telesto becomes sentient and starts running around and killing people on its own. But shout out to Nolzy. He was showing us that there's a weapon in Borderlands that does that. You shoot out a gun that actually runs around, or is it a grenade? But anyways, it's a gun that lands on the ground and actually runs around and shoots things on its own. His little feet.
See, that's why I love Borderlands right there. They have some of the most ridiculous ideas. I mean, that's one, because it was, because I was first introduced to Borderlands 2, and what really got me about that game's sense of humor was the first time I picked up, I forget what manufacturer makes it, but it's the guns that basically turn into grenades as you reload them. It's like, you reload, instead of reloading the weapon, you like, chuck your gun.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And it lands and just explodes, and I'm just like, what just happened?
I basically got rid of my gun and got a new gun.
And it's even more hilarious on a rocket launcher. your entire rocket launcher just goes flying at the enemies.
Yeah, there's some crazy stuff in the game, which it's always weird for me because you're always having to swap stuff because you can't infuse them up. So like I'm like, there's so many cool things I would love to play with forever, but then it's like you kind of just have the attitude of like, just do the new hotness. If it's a higher level, great, but if not, just try the thing, have fun with it until you truly get to end game, and then I guess you can like settle on a few that you like. But
yeah, and what's like the OP meta and such. I mean, then Destiny players think they have it bad for Vault Space. Play Borderlands game.
Exactly. Oh my gosh.
I want to hang on to this, and I want to hang on to this, and I want to hang on to this. You have 10 Vault Spaces. Oh.
No.
Crap. At least I think it was like 10 you started with in Borderlands 2. Might have been like 15, but still. It's a far cry from what, the 200 we started with in D2?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it 300?
Which I don't remember, but yeah, low. Well, I want to remind everyone, like we were starting to talk about like clan, but we have plenty of room in our Discord, so if you have not joined our Discord yet, please do so. It is such a great place to lurk, if you want to lurk, but also find people to play with, and we are pretty chill, and you can just post a message in the Discord. We also have programming systems if you want to pick a certain time that works well for you. That's the 100 IO raid bot that I've created, but you can use it for, well, I didn't create it, but I integrated into the Discord. Shout out to the 100.io website.
Man, I finally signed up over there.
Oh yeah, I saw that, Des. Yeah.
So yeah,
it's pretty good. But
so eventually I'm going to use it.
Yeah. Be sure, everyone, though, to read through the frequently asked questions in our Discord, because it'll circumvent a lot of issues that people have had with scheduling the first time and maybe picking the wrong time zone or making it public versus not public, which is you want it to be not public, or else it opens it up to randos and the full LFG.
The entirety of the 100.io.
Uh-huh. But you don't need to click private either. It's kind of weird they have this in-between thing. But that being said, they did just update, so you can kind of ignore what I just said. Still read the frequently asked questions, and I'm going to be updating this, but they did make a change recently where now I believe it does not go to public by default. So yeah, shout out to them. Good developers over there. But yeah, feel free and join our Discord. Feel free and join our clan. Just, you know, shoot us a message. Have fun playing this game. And we have another games, other, you know, topic channel too, where people talk about other stuff, even though we're primarily a Destiny Discord. We certainly don't mind other stuff being talked about also.
Equal opportunity offenders.
Yeah, mostly Destiny, but you know.
Because you're definitely going to get a random game or two when I'm around.
Yeah.
It'll happen. At least until Beyond Light comes out. And once it happens,
all good.
And then it's going to be all about Destiny again for a while. Probably a long while.
Not a worry. Well, with that, we should give our closeouts, our signouts,
our
info,
Felicia's,
our whatever you want to call it. You can start with a bye Felicia sin if you'd like this week.
Okay, bye Felicia. Have a good night.
All right. Is that your Twitter tag?
Yeah, you can find me over on twitch.tv/SinMedia is a CYN, and over on Twitter at Sin_Media. Des Raven.
May we all give thanks to Saint Felicia, patron of farewells. You can find me on Twitter at DES_Raven, and always, always, always lurking in the Discord, which means you can too, so please join.
Anyone can lurk. Everyone's allowed to. Yes, please join. All right. You can find me as Kingsley Mac in all the places, except on Twitter, where I am MC Kingsley. And you can find our show in iTunes and all the places for podcasts, but also you can find it in our lovely website, theguardianhub.com.
Best hub on the net.
Thank you. And on Twitter is the Guardian Hub. All right. Well, thanks, Des. We might have to fire Sin next week. If you guys still want Sin on the show, please let us know. In fact, we need more written in the show feedback channel. So let us know any questions you have for us. But seriously,
everyone, any questions
in there?
Any questions?
Give us questions.
Yes, anything, the meaning of life, whatever you have. I mean, we don't really focus on like being very like, oh, we have a question section now, but we need to remind you, we're always open to it, and maybe we can indeed focus on it more if people want.
I will answer any question. It may not be the truth, and it may not be an actual answer, but I'll answer it.
Or it may not be what they want to hear.
Exactly, because it could be the truth. But anyway. Yeah, yep. I'll answer any question.
Well, with that, we really appreciate everyone listening this week, and have a good week.
Cheers.
Later.
Goodbye.